of youth orchestras, and I've been playing in those for a couple of years. The Nashville Symphony has a program that's dedicated for training the youth to become future musicians, and that has propelled my learning so much as a classical musician. And just having those resources in Nashville, in a place that loves music just in general, is perfect. It's like the silver lining.
What's the name of that program?
The Accelerando program.
Amazing.
Yeah. Arushi, you are a quote-unquote classical musician.
Yes.
But yesterday at rehearsal, I heard you improvise. And it's not to say that classical musicians can't improvise, but they usually don't. How did that come about?
I did do like a couple years of jazz on saxophone. So I have a little bit of theory in my brain. Maybe.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. Well, you're really excelling at it. From what I've heard of many of those classical musicians that we know and love, like Bach, they were improvisers.
They absolutely were. There's a long history of improvisation in classical music. Arushi, when did you know that music was something you wanted and needed in your life?
Oh, man, that was actually fairly recently. I didn't grow up in a very musical family. It wasn't until I joined my middle school's band that I got into music in any sense. Through my immersion as a flutist, like going to different clinics and doing different festivals, that really opened my eyes. And I think maybe it was just last year when I was playing my repertoire and I realized, like, man, I don't think I can live without my instrument. I don't think I can live without music.
It shows. Your parents were born in India, right?
Yes, in India.
And how old were they when they came to the U.S.?
They came around 1999. They grew up in India. Everything, like all their culture was influenced by where they grew up. And then they came for a better lifestyle for us, better job opportunities.
That culture must be a huge part of your life at home.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Victor, have you gotten into studying Indian classical music?
I was lucky enough to get to tour with some Indian musicians. And I just pick their brain all the time.
Yeah.
I'm heavily influenced and love Indian music and the food.
Me too. The whole concept of the way they approach rhythm and these cyclical patterns and changing subdivisions within a larger group.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's...
In Western music, we have music theory for the 12 notes.
Right.
We have scales and modes and ear training. In India, they have the same thing for rhythm also.
Yep. Am I the only one kind of wishing that we could do a little more music before we go?
Can we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Arushi, yesterday at rehearsal, we put a different groove under the Bach. And to me, it kind of reimagined that beautiful piece. You mind doing more of that?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Let's play it.
Let's do it. Thank you.
Okay, you heard it here first on From the Top, the Adagio from Bach's Sonata in G Minor for Flute and Piano and Electric Bass, performed by our impromptu trio here, 17-year-old Arushi Kumar on the flute, Victor Wooten on bass, and yours truly on the piano. That was so much fun. You're an amazing improviser, Arushi.
Thank you.
Yeah, Bach is smiling.
Yeah, he is. Hey, thank you so much for being with us today. It was really great to play with you.
Thank you for having me.
17-year-old flutist Arushi Kumar from Nashville, Tennessee, together with our special guest today, Victor Wooten. Arushi Kumar's appearance on From the Top was made possible through the generosity of The Melody Lab. Finally, we have another off and on the charts young musician with us today. Joshua Knox is here to represent his Grammy Award-winning marching band, the Tennessee State University Aristocrat of Bands. We're going to hear Yes, Jesus Loves Me from the Aristocrat of Bands' Grammy Award-winning album, The Urban Hymnal. That was Yes, Jesus Loves Me from the Tennessee State University's marching band's Grammy Award-winning album, The Urban Hymnal. We have head drum major Joshua Knox with us now. Joshua is originally from Detroit, Michigan, and is a bass guitarist himself. Joshua, welcome to From the Top, and thank you for sharing this beautiful album with us.
Of course.
Tell us a little bit about what we just heard.
We are the Grammy Award-winning Tennessee State University Aristocrat of Bands.
This is a unique record. It combines marching band, it combines gospel, and you won a Grammy for it. Congrats.
Thank you.
Tell us about the experience of making this record.
Back in spring of 2022, our band director, Professor Larry Jenkins, was like, we got an opportunity to record an album. It could be considered for a Grammy. We just had to record it. So we spent the whole semester recording, top to bottom, hours of recording, even overdub sessions. And when we found out we won a Grammy, it was just such a surreal moment. Like, it felt like we did something for the community. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. How many people are in this band?
So you can range anywhere from 250 to 300 people in a band. That includes all the band staff, the auxiliary, Sophisticated Ladies, the Royal Elegance flag team. And I'm the head drum major in the band. Okay. I'm the one with the big baton in the front. It's kind of my job is to be an extension of the band staff. The band directors, if they're not around, have to make big decisions for the band and help lead the band in the best direction, dance a little bit. And it's always a misconception that drum majors have to play drums. Yeah. I'm the only one out of the four that plays drums.
Wow.
Tell us a little bit about the history of this Aristocrat of Bands. It's a very famous marching band.
We've been around for, I think we're going on 78 years now. Over the years, we've just been known as the band of first. We're top tier, you know, best of the best, first of the first. I believe we're the first band to perform on a White House lawn, first band to win a Grammy. Last summer, I was actually able to be a part of President Joe Biden's first ever Juneteenth celebration on the president's lawn. I was just looking down, and Joe Biden was just staring at me in awe. I couldn't imagine that. Wow. Like, that experience was like one of the best for me.
Wow. And how old are you now?
21.
21. You accomplished all this. Won a Grammy, played for the president. Wow. You're doing all the things, like being not so fearful of music. I don't know why we would be afraid to improvise, but to meet someone like you, and I hear you talk about playing drums and marching, and then you also play bass. And I think the first question I ask you, You play in a church in Detroit? And you say, yeah, I see that a lot in the churches these days where the musicians play everything.
Yes. I feel like the more versatile you are, the more flexible you are, the more you're able to make connections to, you know, reach out and learn from different people. So for sure it did help, especially taking lessons and reading music. Mm.
How did the church or spirituality play into your own musical life, Victor?
Quite a bit, but in a different way. My parents were what they called primitive Baptists. And this is old school, backwoods, North Carolina Baptists, where they didn't allow instruments in the church, only singing.
Way open, like the hymn books, and you would just read it.
Yeah, you'd read the meter, they'd have lyrics, and then they'd have a number system that would teach you how the song is sung. Mm. Our parents allowed us to play. They weren't against instruments, but I think they understood that sometimes when people start playing an instrument, they lose the main goal, like, of what this music's supposed to do. Like, when we study an instrument, we start focusing so much on it that we might lose touch with what the gospel really is. Yeah. And so they didn't allow instruments, but the whole spirit was a part of our household, the church, the gospel. Mom played records every weekend. We'd be listening to Nina Simone and Mahalia Jackson, but we never played in church. We sang in church, but never played.
Wow.
Different.
As long as we're looking back into history, Joshua, what are the historical origins of the marching band?
The marching band started with drums, you know, back in the military times. It's like a battle cry in a way, you know, the drums would come out, let the other side know that we're coming. That's where the drum major came from, leading the drum corps through the band. You see the baton, you know they're coming. So that evolved to adding instruments. At first, horns and woodwinds wasn't allowed in the marching band, so strictly drums, and then they started adding it over time. And then different genres, you have a show style, and then you have like a competition style marching band. We're kind of more of a show style marching band. We'll go out and perform. Then you have bands that are just strictly go to compete. It's a culture now, especially in the HBCU realm. It's definitely a culture.
It's a huge position of leadership that you have as the head drum major. Are there other leadership positions you hold?
I serve as the president for organization Phi Alpha Sinfonia. It's a music fraternity. I'm a part of the Jazz Collegians at TSU. I play the bass and percussion, and I was in the commercial music ensemble as well as the wind ensemble.
Wow. Growing up in the church playing, you play multiple instruments, and you're still young. How do you think, or does playing music help you in your life?
I think it gives a sense of balance. Being a musician, you have to be able to first listen. I see a lot of people be so eager to try to figure things out in a rush. Music is such a thing that you have to take your time with. You have to learn the background, the fundamentals, the foundations of any instrument you're learning. It teaches discipline as well, especially learning music. The first time I listen to a song, say if I got my bass and I'm learning a song, I wouldn't even have my bass in my hand. I'll just listen, get a feel how the bass fits within the arrangement of the song. And then at that point, I learn the song and then add my own touch to it. In the marching band, like, we start with pre-drill, and the more we're doing band camp, the more we're learning about how discipline is not just about standing there at attention and not moving. It's more of just learning your part, understanding what kind of role you play in the band, and just getting the job done, honestly, and not making anything difficult.
So what are your responsibilities as head drum major? Sounds like a big responsibility.
Yes, it is. The job of the head drummer is to be the extension of the band director, the band staff. You have to be able to deal with 250 to 300 people with different personalities every day. One person may be feeling good, next day they may be feeling sad, and you have to be able to meet in the middle and find a compromise and be able to make the best decision for the majority of the group.
So does that help keep the band unified, the psychological health of the band, having you there?
Yes, it does. It keeps us unified. My head band director, Dr. Reginald McDonald, he always tells us we have to be able to put on a show for two audiences, an audience that can hear and can't see, and an audience that can see and can't hear. We have to sound good. We have to look good. So we all have to be on the same page, making sure we're all picking up our feet on the same foot, playing the music the same way, just being one accord. So have to keep the energy and keep the peace up.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you, for sure.
Man, you got that work ethic. You've got the passion and the talent. You're going to be good.
Absolutely.
Well, it's been really fun to chat. And Josh, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Congrats on the Grammy win. Victor, as always, thank you for being with us.
I'm honored to be here and meet all these wonderful people.
Same here. This is a surreal moment. I never imagined I'd be in a room with you all. It's really great.
Joshua Knox, 21 years old from Detroit, Michigan. Victor, it's been such a pleasure having you on the show today. Thank you for spending time with us and for mentoring our young musicians.
Wow, I feel like they're mentoring me because they're showing me what the future will be.
Yeah.
So I'm just honored to be here. I thank you all for allowing me to be a part of this.
Thank you. And thank you to our listeners for traveling through Nashville with us. I hope it inspires us all to do more musical exploration. I'm Peter Dugan. Join me next week, and we'll take it from the top. Heartfelt thank you to the Jack Kent Cook Foundation. A special thank you to the Volgenau Foundation, whose support made this program possible. Thanks to engineer Skylar Chukri at Sound Emporium. From the Top is produced by Megan Swan and Abigail Desser. Sound design and music editing by John Escobar, with editing and mastering by Rodrigo Cuenca. Our production manager is Amanda Roth. From the Top's executive director is Gretchen Nielsen. From the Top is an independent nonprofit organization based in Boston. If you'd like to appear on our program, apply online at fromthetop.org. From the Top is supported in part by an award from the National Endowment for the Arts, on the web at arts.gov.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from the Massachusetts Office of Travel and Tourism, offering visitors information about the arts, culture, and history of Boston. The journey begins at visitma.com. From Jarl and Pamela Mohn, focusing on civil liberties, foster youth, public radio, and the arts. And from the estate of Jane Gross, whose bequest supports NPR's commitment to creating a more informed public by distributing programming that meets the highest standards of public service in journalism.
Gilbert House Children's Museum supports ICANN Radio with 20 hands-on exhibits located in 5 historic houses of Salem. We provide the opportunity for children to learn through creative play and discovery. For more information, visit acgilbert.org.
This is ICANN on HD2.
KQAC HD2 Portland 89.9.
KQOC HD2 Glenydon Beach 88.1.
KSLC HD2 McMinnville 90.3.
And KQHR HD2 The Dells and Hood River 88.1.
Here at ICANN, we love tongue twisters.
Okay, Stephen, I have a really good tongue twister for you. You ready? Chester Cheetah chews a chunk of cheap cheddar cheese. If the chunk of cheese chunk Chester Cheetah, what would Chester Cheetah chew and chunk on?
Oh, that's tricky. All right, let me try. Chester Cheetah chews a chunk of cheap cheddar cheese. If the chunk of cheese chunked Chester Cheetah, what would Chester Cheetah chew and chunk on?
Oh, that was good.
How about we try that together?
All right, let's do it.
3, 2, 1.
Chester Cheetah chews a chunk of cheap cheddar cheese. If the chunk of cheese chunked Chester Cheetah, what would Chester Cheetah chew and chunk on?
We did it!
Yeah!
To find that tongue twister and more, visit
icannradio.org.